the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the Holy Order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anapatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over any suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What shall we look at this morning? Rebecca.
Well, I'd like to look at a very fun process that I'm workshop that I'm in now, starting in.
Isn't that great? There's this fun workshop, and I want to talk about it. Before even start talking about it, I'm smiling.
Yes, I think I was smiling off in meditation. So because it feels like that tapestry thing is happening, where it's like this inside is, and then 6 months ago I was looking at this, and it's forming this wonderful tapestry that I'm just getting to see all these pictures.
And I love how you said that. It's forming this tapestry. I'm assuming you're kind of saying like awareness is forming that. You're not necessarily figuring it out or putting it together.
Not at all. I'm the beneficiary.
You're so the beneficiary.
Not the author or the creator. So I started a spring cleaning project in my hermitage.
Uh-huh.
And gosh, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that I've seen is that this is the spring cleaning where I really try to get rid of things that I get them out of my space that I haven't used or whatever. And the process to determine what goes and what stays is fascinating.
Uh-huh.
So like I'll hold up a garment and I'll hear this, well, I love this color and it's good for this type of weather and maybe I would wear it and so there's this little thing, and then kind of after a little bit of that, there will be this, I don't enjoy wearing it.
Uh-huh.
And that little, I don't enjoy wearing it, just trumps everything. It's like, okay, it goes. You know, because it's sort of like I look to the human. Well, how do we really want this?
Mm.
Is this an item that seems that gives us pleasure, that says whatever, all the color and the weight and the what ifs and maybe this and if I ever go from, all of that, it plays second fiddle to I love this or I don't really enjoy wearing it. And just seeing that, so kind of what I've started doing is I just started checking in with the humans. Not necessarily first, because I do kind of enjoy that. Bit about the colors and all that. I kind of enjoy that. It's not a problem.
Right.
But it's just not the determining factor.
Uh-huh.
And seeing that is so much fun in and of itself.
Well, yeah, the whole thing, right? I mean, just that place of, Sherry's been talking about seeing, not seeing through.
Yeah.
So here you come to, so seeing the process rather than seeing through the conditioned process. You're not the one going, oh, I don't know, and da-da-da-da-da. You're watching that occur. So there's that process, kind of like, well, I mean, maybe on a spring day if it was cooler, then that color and the sun was shining, and then, you know, there's kind of all that. And I like what you said, which, like, that's not a problem. I mean, sometimes I kind of even enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's important to see, like, that's not a requirement.
Yeah.
And now what's really kind of cuts through all that is this process of checking in with the human, which seems to be, I really love that, or I actually don't really enjoy wearing that.
Yeah. Yeah, now, and thank you, because that helped me see another piece of the tapestry, that seeing through karma, not seeing, I mean, seeing karma, not seeing through it,
uh-huh.
or whatever, however
yeah.
you know. I hadn't really seen that as part of this thing, that that's what was going on, the larger awareness.
Yeah, you can hear it in the way you're describing it, right?
Yeah.
So then I hear this,
uh-huh.
and then all of a sudden there's this other thing, it says, I actually just don't really enjoy it, you know, and you just get to watch. Wow, that's what makes it so fun, I project.
Yeah, like, and then that answers, so there's this coat that I've had for years. I mean, like, the technology is like 80s technology. It's really big and kind of bulky. But when it's really, really cold, that is the coat I would go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just answered why I keep hanging on to that coat. It's because the human loves how mm-hmm. warm. I mean, we didn't have a cold enough winter where that coat got worn even once this winter.
Uh-huh.
But boy, when it's really, really cold, that's the woman.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of had been seeing, I just now saw this, I had been kind of feeling, that it's so stupid to keep this coat. But again, that voice of, I love wearing this coat when it's really, really cold, that trumps everything, you know? It's not, you know, so yeah, it's really getting down to that, what serves the human.
What serves the human? Yeah, because, I mean, we, you know, that sort of discernment, and, I mean, really, we haven't even worn it for, and we only wear it when it's really cold, what's the point, we could da-da-da-da-da, it really is secondary to this place of checking in and go, you know what my experience is? When it's really, really cold, I love putting on that coat, and it's super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
And the fun thing about that is, like, that may change.
Yeah.
But what's going on right now is, when you go to your experience, that coat's actually really helpful, and I really enjoy it
mm-hmm.
on these particular circumstances. So there we go.
Yeah. And it ties in with something, this whole workshop ties in with something we were looking at Thursday night around money and, like, kind of holding back things.
Uh-huh.
Because another element of this process, of this spring cleaning workshop, is what I'm letting go, like, I'm not keeping it in my hermitage, but I can let it go to live in the community. Here's the example.
Yeah, man.
So when I moved here, I came with like 4 or 5 bath towels.
Uh-huh.
And I have 3 really nicely stored somewhere. And really, I only need 2. One that's used and one that's dirty. And then they wash and then they replace each other, right? And I don't need 5 bath towels.
Well, not for one person.
But
I mean, unless, you know, if you really wanted 5. But
exactly. Because, you know, if it serves the human. But it really doesn't.
It doesn't.
And so it's like, well, now, why do I hang on to these all
uh-huh.
for 5 years? I've been, you know, storing them every, you know, moving them to different storage, you know, whatever. And it really is sort of like that. Well, I know why. I was like, well, if I ever need to, like, take care of one of my kids or somebody comes to visit, like, there are people, that's not how we operate here. You
have
know?
A guest tower.
Somebody would be staying in my hermitage and being my guest tower.
That would be so fun.
That's the last thing to let
Well, that's just revealing that little conversation that's always making sense of things.
Yeah.
And you just say, well, I know why. Because there's this little thing. What if somebody comes and,
yeah.
you know, wait, that's an old schema. They're not going to, they don't come and stay in my hermitage with me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that is so. And it's an identity that I see has just been wearing away.
Uh-huh.
This mom identity, like, if one of my kids is ever homeless, I've got to have space in my hermitage where they can move in. My house.
Isn't that fun that we say it out loud really quick?
Oh, I said it, yeah, I've said it before, you know, and to see it now in the light after all these, you know, these years, it is so gratifying or fun or whatever to see how it's just, things just change, and there's more of a letting go.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of that happening. And like, if God forbid one of my kids is ever homeless, or anybody for that matter, the community, life would arise to take care of this person.
Wow.
It wouldn't be up to me.
That is a completely different orientation of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because just as we were, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, just like as we were talking about with the money, you don't often realize that in the backdrop is, but I need this little thing over here, because what if, and we don't realize that's maintaining our orientation of the world.
Yeah.
That something could go wrong, and if it goes wrong, you can't trust anybody else or count on anybody else or life. And essentially, I think what we're saying is, I got to keep my relationship with conditioned mind to be okay.
Yep.
And what you're saying, gosh, it's such an awesome commercial for recording and listening to be saying things out loud on the recorder, because what you're saying is, I've seen that identity.
Yep.
Because I project, you've been talking out loud, and you're like, you just the way you started off the whole conversation this morning, I'm hearing this voice and this voice. And you're almost like seeing, wow, that identity has some certain characteristics, and they want to make sure everything's okay. And the way they do that is they keep kind of things over here, maybe some towels and maybe some money or whatever. And to have this different experience, which I project happens through practice, where you're not afraid anymore.
Yes, and that's exactly where I was going with the money thing, with that same process is like, I so utterly... In this place when I'm here, I so utterly trust life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to hold on to anything.
Right. There's no question.
Yeah. That when you're here. Life, community, really, yes, everything, your life would arise to take care of whatever situation is there in whatever way it seems fit. Which doesn't mean that,
you might not like that.
Exactly. I would not like that. Right. But from in this place, from a centered or open-hearted place, I just know without a doubt that everything is so exactly how it needs to be, how it is. It is how it is, period.
It is how it is, and everything that it needs to be. And I might not like it, but I mean, would you say that's built on your experiences of letting go and how many millions of ways in seeing that you're taken care of?
Yeah, I remember Sherry saying one time, just sort of offhandedly, something, I can't remember the context, but it was something like, if I lost my eyesight, that would be such, it'd be like, well, good, I get a dog.
Yeah,
you know?
I get a dog again.
And I remember thinking one time, if I were to like ever be destitute and on the street, well, good, I get to see who might take me in, or what life would deliver in that moment, or... Well, good, I kind of get to see who my real friends are in that case, or whatever. It's like, we don't know. We just don't know what is there for us. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, it's just all good, and just appreciating this workshop a lot.
Yeah, we just don't know. And from that place of kind of hearing throughout the process is that curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why am I keeping those three towels? Or, I wonder what would happen if I lost my eyesight? Or, I wonder what would happen if I was destitute? I wonder, because you're still operating from this place of, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It's all okay. I know life will do whatever life's going to do. And my experience tends to be, or always is, support.
Yeah.
And so it's more of a, it's not a, oh God, it's more of a, I wonder what would happen. Yeah, and from that place, we just smile, and we're just having a good time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Very fun indeed. Yes?
It reminds me of all the times I was in the ministry I worked with in San Francisco. We changed offices three times, and we always box up stuff.
Uh-huh.
And all the boxes that, you come to the next move and you never unpacked. You just leave those boxes this time, and then you make the next move the same thing.
That was the process of letting go of things.
Yeah. I mean, just realizing how much you have that you never even bother to look at.
Yes.
I had this really fun experience of me, not me kind of. On Thursday, I had organized a group of people to go to the state legislature, and we talked to legislative aides all day about trying to stop the deforestation that's happening here, and how it's related to climate change. And so we had this group. We had 15 people. We were in teams, and it really was a great day. We had a really good day, and I had actually set it up. And So that night, people were, we just kind of felt sky high. Mm-hmm. And that night, when I got home, I decided to write an email to people out of that energy. And so I sent this, and I said, you know, we had this wonderful day, and thanks, you know, to the leadership of, and I mentioned the four other leaders and then all the volunteers. And then when I looked at it again, I thought, I should include myself in that, because I was one of the leaders. So uh-huh. I did. I said, you know, Rob and Perry and Penny and Barry and Jenny. And it was so interesting because I saw that in including my name in there, it was much less personal than if I didn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a movement almost, right?
Well, yeah. It was like someone stood back and said, well, yeah. There were five great leaders there, so let's mention them.
Yeah.
Rather than, well, you know, the sort of the etiquette is you don't mention yourself. And,
right.
And I also realized that it would be a setup for people to say, well, Penny, you know, you did a great
yeah,
job too.
You know? Penny. Yeah, that would be the condition etiquette. You don't mention yourself. You wait for somebody else
right.
to say.
And then you say, oh, shucks.
Yeah. But then,
And so it just felt really clean. It was really fun to see that movement. That out of awareness, all I was doing was reporting out.
Yeah.
What everybody had been testifying to all day, which is what a great day it was. And and so the very thing that conditioning would call calling attention to was the opposite effect, was actually the opposite process.
Uh-huh. Wow. So that's so fun. So you're because it was just this really wonderful day, that energy sky high. You're like, I want to, you're going to write an email from that space.
Right.
And just in that place, when you sit down, you heard a, well, let's put Penny in there too. She actually was one of the leaders.
That's right.
And just from that kind of step back place, mm-hmm. it was much less personal.
Yeah.
And really clean.
Yeah.
And didn't engage that conditioned process.
Right.
Which I imagine is part of the cleanliness of it. Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of, it wasn't like, well, I should do this or and there wasn't any conversation about, well, should I or shouldn't I? It was like, uh-huh. well, yeah. And it was like that. So Penny should be in there too. So I put that in. So that was a really interesting experience. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other, and then of course there was a certain sense of, ooh, that was sort of neat. And then the next day, when I woke up, I was reading some emails, and apparently that had been a successful trip, had been forwarded to someone in another organization, and that person wrote an email saying, "This will be really important to send thank yous to all those people." And I read that, and what came up was, well, of course I'm going to send thank yous to all those people. It's like, who does she think I am?
Yeah. 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 She's trying to say, yeah, somebody wouldn't do that? I mean,
I just watched this me arise, you know, it was so many people offended. And and it was almost like, you know, conditioning has been sort of shoved to the side for a day or so, and it found the first opportunity to rise back up. Plus, I realized that after the high energy of the day before, there was a bit of a letdown the next day, and so in that place of vulnerability, it was much easier. And so it's funny because there was that sense of being offended, and then there was awareness that was what was happening, and yet there was still that sense of, well, but I'm going to do that anyway. And I just watched it, you know. I just watched how quick it is to come in there and make me a me, you know, make me a me again.
That's what it's always working on, isn't it? As you started off, you've kind of had these experiences of me, not me.
Yeah.
Similar to what Rebecca was saying, it's all happening in awareness.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell the way you're describing it and watching those movements. So, you know, you come off that energy, you do the email, including Penny. It's not personal. It's like, wow, that's kind of neat, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, then there's this email that comes in. It'd be really important to, you know, have these thank you letters come out. And you just watch it come in and get, you know, through the filter. And we talk about that ego scrambler.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it means something about me and ego gets offended.
Right.
And you were right there to, I mean, you could probably feel that, right? But you're also there just to watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, the special, in particular irony is that the person who said that, I don't even know her.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know me. So
well, I'm
why would she think I'm a
leader? Right.
But anyway, it's just very funny to see.
Yeah.
And it's just great to be able to see it.
It really is.
To be taking it personally and not taking that personally.
Uh-huh. Watching the process of taking it personally
and not taking
that personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is that thing we're always doing, that me, not me, mm-hmm. is really just fascinating
mm-hmm.
when we're there to watch that kind of back and forth. And so illuminating and getting clear, you know, because, gosh, most of the time we just well, and what did they think? And they shift, and there we are seeing through the conditioned eyes rather than seeing the process as you just described it. And those are completely different life experiences.
Right. Yeah. Thank
you. Cameron.
That sort of reminded me of something that happened to me just a couple days ago in terms of having that rush of being offended in a situation that, you know, I look at and, you know, just see that was just ego. So I was sitting with some people and we were talking and somebody said something about aerobics class, and I'm leading an aerobics class, and I only am doing it because somebody got sick and we're not going to have it, and so I just said, I'll do it, I think I can do it, and so they were talking, and it came out that when I was leading one of the days, this class, and the woman that was listening said, oh, are you that aerobics teacher that everybody loves? And the woman that was sitting next to me said, no, that's the other one that does it on Friday. And I was like, I mean, I don't, I, you know.
Another good reason to practice awareness, right?
I know that I'm a beginner. I know I'm not as good as two of the three of us. And so it didn't mean to offend me, but I mean, just in the context of that, the way it just came. No, not her.
Boy, it keeps us on our toes, doesn't it? What a blind side. You're just sitting there with folks talking about, and then all of a sudden,
right?
You know, and again, we can all relate to that. It can easily come through as that means I'm not a good, or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever our doubts are around that. And you felt that kind of rush of, or that it kind of was being described earlier, that being offended.
Yeah, and it was not the reason that I am even doing it. It was just vacuum, and we were going to lose this activity that was really helpful for all of us.
Yeah.
We all loved doing it, and I didn't really even want to do it. I was scared to death to do it, but I just said, "What if I try to do it?" You know, so. But it was just interesting that just that it exchanged the way it went, and just like,
kind of like and then there's kind of this awareness of like, wait a second, that's I'm not in here to be the best or to get the ratings from.
Exactly.
I just did this because I love this class, and the person who normally does it was going to be out sick,
right?
And I just wanted to support the class moving forward, so I just said yes, I think I can do it, and it sounds like you have been.
Yeah.
Boy, what a different thing to recognize that truth that you just described.
Yeah.
Versus, are you saying I'm not a good aerobic, or whatever, however that comes in?
Yeah. But even though that was the motivation, there was still that feeling when not her.
Yeah.
She's not the good one.
Yeah. Well, those little buttons that are just always they're just there.
Yeah.
They just haven't been pushed yet.
Exactly.
You know, and then something comes in like that, and we get to discover, I didn't realize that was going on.
Yeah.
You know, that there was maybe some investment, you know.
Yeah. So afterwards I was thinking, oh, that woman was really mean. She didn't need to say anything like that, you know. And then I just was reviewing why I'm doing it and how that really doesn't matter what anybody thinks, you know.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
I just imagine like you could do one of those recordings around that, you know, like there could be a place of just like, what does it really mean? And you know, whoever needs to talk about that. But that place that it's just, well, what's true is that actually doesn't matter. Here's why I'm doing this. Here's what I'm focused on. Here's what's true for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because otherwise then that conversation just takes our energy and puts a poo-poo on something that you actually really enjoy doing.
Yeah, and actually I almost... when the woman that was sick came back, she invited me to stay on and take one of the 3 days. So
To go back and tell that lady. Actually.
But just recently, I told her I thought I was going to quit because I felt like I wasn't doing it as well as this one and this one. And, you know, I did it for the good of the group, and now I could quit for the good of the group, and they could have, you know. And but I didn't say that to anyone. I just let that be in my mind, and you know. And then I realized, You know what's happening here is that ego is coming in and wanting to take something away from me that actually was a big step into letting go of fear and taking a risk. And I enjoy the heck out of it. I pick these really cool songs, and you know, it's really fun to do because it's like dancing, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I get the wrong foot sometimes and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody has to stop and get. But I thought, you know, I'll just keep working on it. You know, I have a lot of time to spend on that. I'm doing a lot of other things, but. For the person who volunteered and likes it, that would not be really kind to say, well, you didn't match up to some standards, so you better just quit. You just go to the class and let those other people leave.
Wow. Gosh, I mean, the way you're describing it, it's almost like the woman who said that, you know, clearly just an unconscious thing.
I know. She did. It just blurted out.
It just blurted out. But what it did was it revealed this process maybe you weren't in touch with around, you know, you're not doing a good enough job.
Exactly.
And then you get to see, gosh, it's essentially doing what it's always doing.
Yeah.
You know, self-hating, putting us down, and then convincing us, and well, then you don't do that step, and it'd be better for all if you just... You know, and gosh, just think about all the things that people stop doing that they actually love doing.
Yeah.
All the relationships they actually love that they have to get out of because that conversation's dictating the experience. And you're really highlighting so clearly the difference between the conversation framing the experience and then getting back to, wait a second, I love this class. You know, it's really fun. And you know what? I'd love to practice it more. You know, so... Gosh, I think I'm going to stick with this.
Yeah, and it was really fun to catch that. And I had mentioned it to the other person that I might want to do that. And she was coming to me to tell me, she hoped I didn't do that because of the same reason, you know, that she was thinking it was very good for me and very good for the class that I stay. And
it's good to have those little reality checks, too.
And so, that was another one of those little workshops. And then to see just the other day that exchange where, no, she's not good, but it just flared all that back up.
And then you've just been watching it. Yeah. And then having a choice, which is what we have after we see. Once we're aware of what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's a process that getting excited about something and then dropping out because you're not good at it. You look, you know, ego looks out and compares and says, well, you're not good.
Yeah.
And then just sort of withdrawing.
Yeah.
And then the person who wanted to do that, you know, doesn't get to do it.
Right. Well, because it really doesn't work for ego if you're going to have your attention on excitement and dancing and enjoying.
Exactly.
Right. So what does it do? It does its number one thing, which is comparison.
Yeah.
Right. So make the person start feeling, get the attention back on that suffering system.
Right.
But you're just completely busting it.
Right. It's fun to catch on to those long-lived processes at this stage in my life and just say no.
No.
I'm going to stick with it, and I'll do better.
Yeah. And how I'm doing is perfectly fine, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
You've been great.
Thanks,
Karen. So go ahead.
So I want to look at, I'm going to stick with it, but I'm looking at, I brought this up the other night about control, being controlled. Being controlled by egocentric current conditioning, self-hate.
By those voices in the head.
By those voices. And it's funny because, you know, I can't abide being controlled by an external person. You know, it just like drives me crazy. And it's that, what really is driving me crazy is that the control of you know, that those voices.
Oh, that's an important process right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
To, you know, often it seems like it's the I gets that external person trying to control me, and I can't. No, I can't stand that. And that kind of almost distracts us from the control that's going on all the time in the background in our heads.
Exactly, and I I don't know whether this falls into undulations or control or whatever it is, but just in the last couple of days, like, you know, I had a kind of a really low energy day, felt really identified, you know, just one of those days, I just want to go to sleep and everything's going to be better in the morning, I'm sure of it. And then having, and then waking up and that's absolutely what happened. The next day it was like, oh my gosh, you know, just on fire and just really practicing my heart out and just feeling, just feeling such presence and, you know, kind of like you know, feeling really well physically, feeling really well, like, you know, anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even want to go to sleep, you know, sort of thing. And then
just enjoying it so much, just like, I don't want to leave this.
I don't want to leave this. You know, this is what it means to just drop the stories and to just and practice every moment like it's the only moment I have. And just really touching into that, like,
wow,
yeah, this is the only moment. How do I want, what do I choose for my life in this moment? And doing that over and over and over again. And then going to sleep last night. Going to sleep is the trouble. it seems like you know, that, I don't know what happens in that interim, you know.
While we're sleeping?
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. It
seems like we're often not there.
Huh? We're often getting really messed with, it seems like.
We're getting messed with, it's probably a good way to say that.
And really, and I woke
being
up.
Being controlled.
Yeah, so this is what I'm looking at, you know, so I woke up really early this morning before I really wanted to wake up because, you know, it's Sunday for Pete's sake, you know, and I, you know, and then I kind of woke up with a start, like, you know, it was going at me, you forgot to soak the beans. Well, they're not, you know, there's all this big adrenaline flow in my body, you know,
right.
Like, oh,
there's a fire in your house right now.
I forgot to soak the beans. And then it's Sunday.
Yeah.
I didn't have any beans to soak.
We're all laughing because we know exactly what you're talking about. It's like that urgency.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh my God, it's the worst thing. And then to find out that that actually was even true.
Not even true.
That's being messed with.
That is sad. I think it's so being messed with. And I said, you know what, you can go back to the hell you came from and I don't want anything to do with you. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't usually respond in that way. But it, you know, and then
that's a clear, you're not me.
You're not me.
And you're not invited here.
Yeah, I didn't want
you. You're not welcome.
You know?
I didn't ask you to be here.
I did not want you this early morning visitation. I don't choose it.
I don't choose it.
I don't choose this visitation.
Well, that's a real big statement. Because there could be just resisting it, how we had a conversation went, and but it's really different. Like, I don't choose you.
I don't choose you. Yeah.
I choose being on fire and being in every moment.
Yeah.
As if every moment is its own and is could be the last.
Mm. Yeah.
And boy, what a juxtaposition. I love that when that happens and you get to really see the difference between, quote, being asleep and being awake.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just being asleep and being awake. I mean, you know, if I'm talking about this and, you know, metaphor, I mean, you know, the both of it.
Both
and both of it. Yeah, actually, and metaphorically, and I really made the choice to come back to conscious, compassionate awareness, and the one thing I love to always do is come back to the recitation, because, and to just stay with that, and, you know, this is what I choose, this is what I choose.
Yeah.
And yet, so then it grabbed me physically, like some physical challenges arise with the body. And that is a really rough place that I get, that it really, you know, it's one of those challenging practice places, you know, where it seems so really real.
Yeah. Well, some important steps there too, just that place of it starts up, you know, some kind of urgency with the beings, and there's kind of the no, you know, so I'm not listening, I'm not you, I'm not, and then there is, what do I choose? Well, I choose to put my attention where I want it on the daily recitation. That's your kind of go-to. And it, I just imagine it's like, dang it, these, it's not working. Okay, we're going to have to go to the go-to with her and here, let's stir up some physical sensations and some things that are really, quote, rough for her. And, yeah, so you're noticing that.
And so I'm really noticing that, you know, and it, and when the physical stuff comes up, then it's like, it's so much harder to drop a conversation. You know, like, because I don't catch it as much, it seems, that it's a conversation.
Right.
Because it's just always running. Well, you don't feel so good. You don't feel so good. What, you know, what does this mean? What, you know, and gosh, I don't know if you're going to make it through the sit. And, you know, and you better go lay down. And, you know, just on and on and on and on.
And really, I mean, I don't know if what you're saying, but the physical sensations, at least for me, can be difficult because they're so concrete.
Yes.
And it can just keep, it's the constant evidence for the conversation. I don't know if you're going to make it. I mean, there's that. And then maybe you should lay down. And, and it just feels, I mean, it sounds like you have a sense of, I know that's that, you can, I mean, you're replaying the conversation, so you're clearly aware of it. But there's that place, I don't know if what you're saying, but kind of believability.
Yeah.
Kind of like disidentified, but so identified a bit.
Yeah, it's kind of the, and so it's the control thing, you know. It's like I can kind of see it's going on, and as I'm getting, you know, dragged off by the hair down the, you know, back down to, you know, and it seems like when there's stuff going on physically, it just feels so vulnerable, you know. It just feels like everything goes down to survival, and I just have to survive this, and then
interesting. So when it starts talking about the physical, it brings to those, maybe those beliefs and assumptions about survival. And that's what's so compelling about it.
And then it, so I'm just looking at it as, wow, this is, this does feel like control. At its, you know, like you reflected, you know, this is like, okay, well, this isn't, you know, this isn't working with her, so we got to go to the go-to, you know.
And it really is survival. I mean, if you're going to continue to see that that's not you, and you're going to choose being on fire and what's possible, all the possibilities, it's got nothing, it's dead. So what's it have to, I mean, and it's just, I don't know, but it's just easy to project. That it's going to its survival. You know, you're going to die is what it's saying, but essentially it's going to die if you stop, if you don't give it attention.
That's great, because that's what I'm hearing a lot. Well, you're going to die. You know, this is it.
I know you're really worried that you're going to die, but I don't give you attention.
This is, you know, and it'll even go like, you know, it doesn't care about you. It'll just kill you and go on to the next host. It doesn't care at all. It's just going to kill you.
Oh, it's saying
it's
that.
It's saying that.
Like it's your friend talking about
like
you.
It's giving me good advice or something. I don't know.
As if it's not the same voice. That's interesting.
And so,
again, but just seeing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so icky.
It is. Well, I mean, and control is a good word for it all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're clear that you don't want that, and it's just going, like you said, pulling us by the hair. I mean, just whatever it can do to keep control of us. And then just you're watching it and coming back to the daily recitation, talking about it in group.
Just participating and coming back to, I mean, for right now, I just, you know, feel like just coming back to, how do I choose, what do I choose for my life, and what do I choose for life in this moment, you know? How do I,
comes back to that moment by moment that you're experiencing when you're really awake. And that's still here. And just what do I choose for this moment?
And, you know, some moments are you know, there are changes in, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. all kinds of things. I mean, the weather changes, the body changes, all of that.
Constantly.
Yeah, constantly. And so there's always that, that recalibrating to, you know, what the human needs right now, and yet still being able to choose life moment by moment.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it's high energy and sometimes it's lower energy, but it doesn't mean we don't have to resign from the from the aerobics class, or it, you know, it's like, you know, we just,
Requires us keeping that bigger picture, doesn't it? Which I think that's what you're saying by choosing moment by moment is in a much bigger space, because boy, when it becomes, well, this thing in my knee or the energy level and that bigger place of, well, wait a second, you know, this happens. I mean, the other night it was like, I feel really tired, and if you go to sleep now, you'll wake up and you'll feel better. And I did. So I really don't know. But what I'm doing is I'm taking care of this human moment by moment, which is the same, I think, of what you're saying, as being present to life. Those things go together.
Yeah, just being present to life. So, I just wanted to call it out.
I always imagine, too, when it just gets so serious, it's like that. Okay, all right. Let me get my pen and paper.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me everything that is wrong with the body, because I really want to get that down.
Yeah.
And then I'm hoping the next part of the conversation is, what do you think we should do about that?
Yeah.
Here, okay, go ahead. What is it? What's the first thing?
Yeah.
And just to, like, so it's not a getting away from, but like a, like what Rebecca's talking about, a fearlessness. Like, I know who you are. I know I'm kind of identified, so let's just give this a go.
Yeah. It's great you said that, because I do have a, I love pens and tape and pencils. And anybody might notice I'm getting a collection of you know, and I love them. I just love, you know, I love to write with something nice.
Yeah, I like to write with something nice.
And so that's perfect. I get out my little collection of pens and pencils and just, you know, just say. And I can do it both in the recorder and
paper.
But
yeah, you get it. I have it. And I love to go, oh, actually, that's at 3 o'clock and it's 1, so you'll have to wait. Sorry.
Yeah.
But at 3, I'll be ready.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll be there too.
Right,
and
we
can work this out.
We'll figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, talk about that. Control. There's a little, like, you move right there.
And then I'll take notes on the life plan.
Yeah, I love it too. I mean, and then just that, the pen and the pencil, it's like, where's the attention? It's on what I love. Something about that.
Exactly.
I mean, there's the shift right there. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost like, there's my little friends. We're all set.
Yeah. There's a little, wow, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Just to hold something beautiful and,
just to hold something beautiful.
Just be reminded that that's what we're doing, holding something beautiful.
Wow. Just to be reminded that's what we're doing, we're holding something beautiful. That really takes you to a clarity about what we are and what we're not.
Yeah.
Chris?
So, I... been here for a few days, starts with Tuesday, and there's so much I can say. I'm not sure what to say. I just know I think someone's saying don't say anything. So
that's kind of our cue. And it is the case, isn't it? We've been here a few days, but I could probably, there's so much, I don't even know where to start. Yeah, so much happens in a short time.
As far as pain goes, that's such a hook, because it's like doubly painful, because I feel the pain and then it's automatic, because it's because you're so fat. I mean, that's not sad, it's just understood, period. And that sucks. I mean, there's no way just to be on top of a maybe a legitimate ache or whatever.
Exactly. It's like, gosh, here's this person. I mean, boy, if anyone's ever come to the monastery, there's certainly an adjustment to the body, and so some things are sore, and maybe something hurts, and then there's a wham on top of that. Instead of care, they get, you know, it's your fault.
And somehow related, I'm doing a 30-day retreat on eating monthly, and it came to mind that while I was eating yesterday, that, well, just the question is, what if it's okay to be fat? What if it's okay to be overweight? Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, I've read a lot about acceptance, and I've been here before, and whatever, but like it just felt different to hear that, you know, and to actually just what if it really is okay? What if all it means is that you ate more calories than you burned?
Uh-huh.
Period. And
done
is done. It doesn't mean you're a failure at life, because that's what I grew up believing for sure. And that's, and you know, it'll come and go, but I mean, it's just a constant battle, you know, even where do I sit? Well, I don't want to see my stomach, and I mean, just constant, and it's so boring and tiresome, you know, and just, anyway.
It is boring and tiresome, isn't it? It's like, oh my gosh, do we have to talk about this all the time? And I love how you just described how clearly the meaning gets attached to things that are just whatever they are. So what if, and I love that, you said, okay, I know about self-acceptance, but you can really sense when it comes from that place of support, right? There's that spirit of inquiry, that kind of curiosity. Well, what if it's completely fine to be overweight? And well, what is that? So I ate more calories than I burned. Okay. Well, there's no, where can ego go with that? It's just like, okay, end of conversation. Now what? No. We have to come back to what that means about you. And so then here it comes with the conversation to kind of maintain that. But you're watching it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. And it brought, like, a lot of tears and just such a good release to feel like, oh, yeah, okay, what happened, and I would love to feel more fit. And here I am helping this person get more fit. I'm eating on the plate. I'm exercising a lot. I'm working on my posture, you know, all sorts of things that help me feel better in this body, you know, and just loving it, and just to keep remembering to put aside, you know, to drop that story and
yes, to get current. Can we please talk about what's actually happening? Right now what I'm doing is I'm loving the body, and how that's happening is I'm eating mindfully, I've been working out, I'm even paying attention to my posture. That's where I want the attention, not on a story. And I love that. I mean, we're going to let go. That's one way to let go of the story. Yep, that happened. Anyway, what's happening now is...
Mm-hmm. And it just feels so freeing, too, because there's part of that judgment that judges other people, too. Not, you know, and I feel like even guilty to saying it, but just... It's not me, so it doesn't matter. But that definitely worse because I'm so overweight, but... It just, like, it means so much, you know, laziness and overeating and all this, and unattractiveness and loneliness, whatever. And it's just pure conditioning, it's pure self-hate. Mm-hmm. And, so that's just something that I'm looking at and working with, and so grateful for this opportunity to hear those questions and hear that small voice and be in the silence and be supported by this community and feel like I'm contributing, and that I just feel like a duck in water. I love it here.
It's a good image, actually.
And just, you know, this just so appreciative. It's delicious. Every meal yesterday was just so delicious and so beautifully put out, and there's so much care and every day, but... just so much gratitude to be here.
Such a relief and a release to be here, right? And now we can see, get more clear, there's all that conversation that's been doing to us forever, right? In this case, picking on the body. And you see it. It's a process of self-hatred. And when you come here and settle, there starts to be a little bit of a gap. Like you said, like, thank God, there's that. I can hear that still small voice. You know, there's the, what's true here for me right now? You know, there's a lot of love going on. There's a lot of paying attention. There's a lot of caring for the body. I really love being here. It's like, you know, it's like I'm like a duck in water here. And to have the attention on that rather than that self-hating process, and to feel like it sounds like what you're saying is you have the choice to do that. And that choice is not always clear, is it? you know, we're just kind of going along, it's talking to us, and we just feel bad. But you're kind of seeing how that works now and making the choice for Chris.
And that's a good reminder, just hearing that feeling bad is a reminder that I'm lost in the story, because sometimes I forget, like, I just have this unease and I'm not sure what it is, it's just kind of like, am I depressed or just, kind of, and then there's that, I wish I could have a distraction. You know, I'd like to watch YouTube right now or something. And so that's a good reminder to say, hey, and also, what I've been noticing at this age, I get these hot flashes, and if the story gets going, hardly at all, especially about a romantic breakup, I'm just sweating. I mean, it's like it's just so hot and so uncomfortable. So it's like a practical reason, not to follow.
Oh, that's so fun to see that, isn't it? Gosh, I mean, just life and all its support, right? I mean, we could be like, oh my God, I'm sweating, I'm so hot, and you're like, Wait, this is a good reason to get out of those stories. What a practical thing to see. Yeah. And I love that too, that cue that if we're feeling bad, wait a second. You know, because it'll say something like, oh, you're depressed. Oh, right, I'm depressed. But if we stop for a second, wait, feeling bad is a clue that I'm in a conversation. Well, I wonder what's going on. Oh, there's some, I need a distraction. I want to get on YouTube. Okay, well, anything else to see about that? Like, what's going on? Yeah, those things we're never supposed to ask and look at, right? Mm-hmm. Are just, it sounds like, just available to you right now.
And one other thing I want to share is, because usually there's another part of me that's like, don't go on and on, but I'm just going to do one more about the story. While doing working meditation, I didn't notice this really strong story that is, like, say I'm doing scrubbing or washing or sweeping or something that's societally women's work, it's more painful, it feels more painful, it feels more put out. And then when, for example, I'm doing, like, moving logs or doing the wheelbarrow, it still hurts, you know, my back hurts and getting adjusted to sitting so much and whatnot. It still hurts, but it's like, it's another story of, you know, beast mode, or like, you're tough, you know, like, tough. And I just felt my shoulders go back, like, yeah, I'm a strong person. And, you know, just, anyway, it's so interesting to see all these stories and all these labels and conditioning just so strong. You know?
Yeah.
But just so grateful to be here and get to see all this and get to call it out, too.
Yeah, exactly. Just so grateful to be here to see all this and call it out. Again, it's that movement that we've been talking about all morning, being the watcher rather than being identified with it. And in that place, just as Rebecca started to stop, it's fun. It's like, oh, I'm noticing this thing that goes on with this, quote, woman, so there's that story. And then here's the, you know, and then I deal with logs and I'm in beast mode. And it's like, whoa, there's all these, you know, things that are always going on we can project, but we don't get a chance to step back and see them. And when we do, it's just, we just feel all this gratitude.
And just the, for whatever reason, you know, it's been 5 years since I've been here, and I don't know. Well, at some point, it got turned in my head that some personalities aren't important, or it doesn't matter, or just come back to the breath, And that's partially true, but what I was noticing is there are parts of me that maybe enjoy, whatever, be more a certain way, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I can be with that person, but not be that person.
Yeah.
So I can be in, you know, super strong mode and not suffer, you know, and not.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of it right there, huh? Seeing that experience of I can be those parts. I just really love to get the wheelbarrow and feel strong, you know, and just enjoy that. But then it's not like how you're feeling about yourself, in quotes, is not conditional on being like that or not being like that. You know, you can just simply enjoy the energy of feeling strong, being with that person rather than being identified as. Thanks, Chris. Just go ahead.
I thought this little story that about this part of it. Different aspects of ourselves that enjoy certain things, and then it's fine to give them what they enjoy, Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
I'm going to load up some pens and paper that they're
really I had this great dream that I shared in guidance one time. That, it was about another Sangha member, a manly man, and he was wearing sparkly high heels.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, wow, you know, I never, you know, and it was like, and it was like, yes, you know, there's a part that there's someone that loves sparkly high heels.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I can give that to them. I can,
uh-huh,
you know, I can wear these sparkly high heels. And uh-huh, it was like, wow, you know, yeah, we don't have to deny, mm, you know,
yeah,
different parts of ourselves. We can wear sparkly high heels. It doesn't, mm-hmm, matter who we are. And
mm-hmm,
and the other part of the dream was I was getting out of the bus, and he was there, and I had these white socks on, and there was a mud puddle, and it's like, how am I going to get out of here and get my and not step in the mud puddle? And all of a sudden, he was taking his bicycle off the bus and flying up in the air. And he said, I can show you other ways to do things. You know,
okay.
Like, you know, and I just love that. It's just like, we don't have to be limited by, you know, and we can give different aspects of ourselves whatever they enjoy. And we can be open to unlimited possibilities.
Yes.
And
we can be open to unlimited possibilities. I think we were talking about on Thursday that life likes to play.
Life loves to play. That's what that was all about. Just let go and play. And
yeah, those are clues, right?
Those are clues.
Those taking on those energies or supporting those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
If we're in that place of play and unlimited possibilities,
right?
Because, you know, we get kind of hung up, like, well, are we still doing stuff? No, it's aspects of the personality, you know. But
right,
just to tune in,
yeah,
you know, well, what's going on with the energy? I'm still like wide open, I'm having play, there's awareness, or, okay, or, you know, I'm not aware of anything else going on around me. Those are, you know, two different places, and we just get to, in a way, they're just signals, or they're just things that are helping us to calibrate to those places.
Exactly. So, you know, just drop it all, put on your high heels, and fly to the sky.
Your
sparkly high heels, and never look back. Whee!
A couple minutes, Penny.
We were driving down French Gulch the other day, and it was about a month ago, and there were baby goats on that farm down there. There were lots of baby goats. They were prancing around, jumping around. We started talking about the great time baby goats have. We said, eat, sleep, play. And he said, actually, that's enough for anybody. Eat, sleep, play. So I saw him and I said, eat, sleep, play.
Boy, isn't that fun? I just love that place too. It's like we recognize it. Eat, sleep, play. And then there's that checking in.
Because
we start off with the human. Hey, that's enough for us too.
Everybody.
I think I'm going to put that up somewhere and have that be my guide. Yeah, eat, sleep, play. Thank you. Yes.
I was thinking of, I've been doing this thing, you know how there's that story about that tribe in Africa where somebody breaks the law and you sit them in the middle and then you go around and they say everything they like about her or her.
Because you're conditioned by what?
Yeah.
Wait, they stole something and then you put them in a circle and you tell them everything you like
right,
about them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been doing that with these aspects of the personality inside because there's such a habit that has been formed by some spiritually Zen, pseudo-Zen person to get identified and be critical of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to judge it as identified, and then that's not the way to go, and well, you've just been, you know, you're anxious because, anyway.
And if you just would, then...
Right.
Yeah.
So I've been practicing when somebody was talking a minute ago about... Anyway, I've been practicing with that, putting them in and telling them thank you for the things they do for me.
Uh-huh.
So instead of being controlling, you know, thanks so much for being so organized. And there's something that happens, right? You know, it's
helpful to have those people
the ones that are hypervigilant about everything, you know, thanks so much for paying close attention. I really appreciate for bringing that to light.
Another helpful skill.
You know, and the ones that are playful, you know, thanks, because I don't know about you guys, but my system right now is so I would like to use the word vibrant, because it's like every human, you know, the class is like everything is awake. I don't know. It's all. It's like everything from the fun. I let myself the thing, you know, we want or whatever.
So you're talking about the year-long retreat.
The year-long retreat. So I let myself what, $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, you know, usually I want something holy. You know, whatever. So it was so fun to just play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want $1 billion. Well, yeah. What would you get from that? Well, I get this. And then by the end, because we practice long enough, it's not really... It doesn't matter. It's just fun to go around walking around and I'm a billionaire.
Yeah. Well, gosh, and who's to say that's not holy?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Because what does that give me? Gosh, you know, a lot of peace and generosity and abundance and, you know, right?
And vibrancy.
And vibrancy.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, it's just been fun to. And then I go along and I'm having all this fun, and then something appears that's not so fun to see. But it's there in front of me. Mm-hmm. And so to just the fun part that kind of then takes it on and now wants that to be all the time, like it's, I want to feel this way all the time. I want to
this way.
Right, you want to make a time. That's not something I wanted to see. but it seems like playing with the system, like, well, that's what's here, and I feel this way, so what would I need right now? Well, maybe a sip of tea. Mm-hmm. You know, or maybe, you know, thanks so much for seeing that. You know, I don't know, there's this thing of putting her in the middle, and it's not wrong to have seen something hard.
That's not wrong. Wow, yeah, those are big shifts, aren't they?
It's totally, it feels like my system, what is that called? You know, it's like, and then you're like, turning.
Yeah, it's what we thought going to talk about the Aikido movie. It's just like, the energy just gets completely switched.
Yeah.
From criticism and judgment to... You know what I really appreciate about that about you? I mean, whoa, I mean, you just feel that difference.
And the Aikido thing, too, is like energy moves that way. You know, you know what I mean? Like, not exactly all the time necessarily, but what I'm noticing is that energy, my ego wants to grab the energy and, like, make something out of it. Yeah. So let's say I'm playing the billionaire and I'm having so much fun, and then somebody breaks their leg in front of me, and then there's kind of, it's automatic that life has just shifted that. Mm-hmm. And the ability to just go with that is seeming helpful.
Yes.
And that's the Aikido place, the practicing with it aside, rather than ego grabbing that and saying, oh, I don't want to see that broken leg person or that homeless person. I'm going to go over here and be a billionaire. It's like, no, this is what's here. This is the, but I don't know, I'm just now, it's all interesting to just play with.
Exactly. Well, if we're in that place of playing and observing and, you know, in that perspective, in a way what I hear you saying is it doesn't really matter what comes in front of us. We can still be in that available, paying attention, willing, you know, how can I assist, or how do I talk about it, rather than, you're ruining my good time.
Totally, right, I can see this, it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, we can actually, don't have to, I mean, that's just trying to pull us out of that energy.
Right.
We can just stay there, where we are.
And I was watching, too, I don't know where the time, but the calm, I had some calm energy, actually. And ego was like, maybe you're depressed. I was not actually. I mean, sometimes I could be, you know, but not in that moment. I'm like, I'm actually feeling relaxed for a minute.
What a good catch.
It was a good catch.
Of course, you're supposed to believe that, and then the other ego says, well, I am kind of.
But it's like that exhale, you know, like that. And then there's a...
Yeah, there's nothing wrong about that. It's a thing.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but in meditation, sometimes the exhale, I'm really more present on the exhale often, because there is kind of a... There's a lot that ego can do for me with the inhale, take me off in the... Anyway, I digress. But so it's just super helpful to be here and hear it, buddy.
It is super helpful to be here. So much to see, and as we started off with, just so much fun.
It's so much fun and so kind.
Yeah, and vibrant, I love that word.
Yeah, vibrant. I'm going to use that word. It's not ego's word. Ego's...
Depressed.
I don't know.
There's another good clue. Which one? Who's talking?
Depressed and anxious. Which is probably.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all.